Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The hump. Let's indeed hump. And really, this is our last day of non-real football. The NFL, the big boys, kick off tomorrow. And I think at this point, the only one that isn't under contract, any of the holdouts, is Trent Williams from the Washington Redskins. I did see, however, that he's not showing up. He wants nothing to do with Washington.
And they said they're ready for him not to show up, from what I saw.
Yeah. And it's not like the Redskins are going to be any good anyways. Did you also see, too, that I guess Jay Gruden wanted to cut Adrian Peterson and he was overruled?
Really? I did not see that.
Yeah, like I guess Gruden was like, what are we doing? Like that, I think Jay Gruden's actually a good coach.
They've got some good running backs there.
But
Peterson's not one of them.
No. And yet he's on the roster. I guess he got overruled.
Is he going to have to play then? Because Darius Geis is the guy they drafted last year. He had the torn ACL from LSU, and he played well in the preseason.
And they said the offense is going to run through Geis.
And they got Chris Thompson, who catches passes.
Yeah.
Well, are they going to use AP? Because the higher-ups are like, you're going to play Adrian Peterson.
Well, it sounds like the higher-ups made him put Adrian Peterson on the roster. He didn't even want him there. Although Adrian Peterson is still, a somewhat effective back in a very limited sense. But he has to play in one kind of offense. But
he's not bad.
No, but I guess Trent Williams, he's sticking to his guns. He wants nothing to do with the Washington Redskins. So I'd be interested, the Houston Texans, they gave up the 2 1s and a 2 to go get Tunsil. What would it have taken to go get Trent Williams? I know Trent Williams is older. But
Tunsil's probably way cheaper and better, right?
But no. Trent Williams is way better than Tunsil. Trent Williams is, Tunsil is a good young player, and so you go with he's younger and he's cheaper.
Higher ceiling, maybe?
Trent Williams is a Hall of Famer. Trent Williams is an absolute beast. But, there's older, there's more wear and tear on his body, but he's sticking to his guns and said that he will not play another game for the Redskins. So while everyone else is basically either done or getting worked on, because it sounds like Melvin Gordon is going to get dealt. It's just a matter of coming up with a compensation package. I guess Philadelphia is in talks because it doesn't sound like the Chargers are going to pay. Melvin Gordon wants to be paid like a top three or four back in the league, and the Chargers don't believe that Melvin Gordon is a top three or four back in the league. And so it sounds like that one is at an impasse, and that needs to get dealt with. And I'll bet you here within the next couple days that does, because you are hearing more and more teams that are reaching out. They've given Melvin Gordon's agent permission to seek a trade.
And Melvin Gordon actually followed a bunch of teams and players on Instagram and Twitter so that he could reach out to them himself.
Yeah.
The trade that was turned down today was pretty much a joke, but the Eagles were offering Jordan Howard and a swap of mid-round picks for Melvin Gordon, which, of course, the Chargers said no to.
Well, you're not going to get a bunch for Melvin Gordon. You're just not.
I don't understand it, because I think Melvin Gordon's really, really good.
He is really, really good, but you're still dealing with a position in the NFL that, outside of Dallas and maybe the Rams, no one has any real belief in the position. And no offense to Melvin Gordon, who's a really talented player, but Melvin Gordon has a history of injury, and Melvin Gordon is not Ezekiel Elliott, and he's not Le'Veon Bell. He just isn't. He is one of the better backs in the league, but I think there's when you're talking about truly elite backs, I think you're dealing with three or four of them, right? You're dealing with probably McCaffrey in Carolina, you're dealing with Elliott, and Elliott's the best one.
Saquon Barkley,
who still needs to prove it, and then you're dealing with Le'Veon Bell, and then I think that's probably it for the elite guys, and then you're in that next class, and that's Melvin Gordon. But he'll end up somewhere. It's just that you're not going to get, I've heard that they were asking for a one, and you're not going to get a first-round pick, to be honest with you.
If you're valuing him at a first-round pick, then you should have just paid him the $10 million or whatever he was asking for per year.
Yeah, you won't.
Because that's the same value.
You won't get a one. I don't even know if you'll get a high two. I think you could get a mid to late second-round pick, or maybe you can end up getting a three and a four. But, that shows you where he's at with Philadelphia. And Philadelphia could use him, and he would be great in that offense. But they offered Howard in a mid, not a mid-round pick, but a mid-round pick swap. That right now is the offer going for Melvin Gordon, and that's not great. Someone that does value running backs, though, is the Dallas Cowboys, at least theirs. because Ezekiel Elliott today got paid in a big, big way.
Over $110 million, all said and done?
If he stays there, this is going to tie him to it for 8 years. And if he sees the end of it, and, you know, very rarely in any of these deals does anyone see the end of these contracts. But yes, it will be north of $100 million if he sees the end of it.
So who won that battle?
Zeke did in every shape, and there's no...
Yeah, because he didn't have to play in the preseason.
Nope.
Didn't have to go to camp.
Nope.
Got what he wanted.
Sounds
he,
like
did
they're...
Did he get everything he wanted?
Sounds like they're not even going to fine him.
Oh.
You know, because they can fine him for all those days he missed, and everything I'm seeing is that they're not going to try to recoup any of that money, because they could probably go after about $1 million from him, and it doesn't sound like they're even going
to
do that.
Jerry doesn't want to mess with that.
So he gets 7.5 to sign. His 2019 base salary is fully guaranteed, which is only $752,000. So it saves a little bit of cap money this year. And then in 2020, his base salary is $19.8 million, which,
damn,
again, fully guaranteed at signing. 2021, $9.6 million, fully guaranteed at signing. And then it goes down from there, 2022, $12 million, 2023, $10 million, 2024, $10 million. And then you get to the back 2 years, and this is where I don't think he sees this money. 2025 and 2026, 15 and a half and 16.6. He probably doesn't see that $31 million. My guess is that probably doesn't happen. So you're looking, realistically, $80 million when this is all said and done.
Not bad.
No.
So the Cowboys,
and he's the highest paid back in every aspect. So I don't know what Dallas was trying to get done here, because they didn't get anything. I mean, this was everything they wanted.
They didn't think he was going to hold out for as long as he did.
No.
Right? They're like, well, what the hell? Let's just pay him.
Yeah. So basically,
watch him get hurt in week one.
Well, I mean, and he's still right at signing right now. He gets $28 million fully guaranteed the day he signs, which is today. By the time you hit the middle of March next year, that goes up to basically $40 million of guaranteed money. And through the if he sticks around in 2021, which he will, you're looking at over $50 million in guaranteed money that's coming his way. I mean, he broke the bank. He reset.
Well, he's worth it. I mean,
if you are going to pay a running back, he certainly has proven it, but he's also had some stupid stuff, and he's been suspended. And that's the other thing, and I haven't seen anything on this. I wonder if there's any language in there for disciplinary things. I wonder if there's any outs for Dallas, because
yeah.
I haven't seen anything on that.
I would have thrown that in there if I were Jerry.
Absolutely.
Guy's a bonehead. But hell, he's good. So, all right, so Zeke's back. He's going to play in week one. Now, did you talk about Antonio Brown while I was on the phone?
I did not talk about Antonio Brown.
Important business there.
We talked about the Redskins and Melvin Gordon and the likes.
A lot of people think I was pinching a loaf. I was not.
No, you were not, as far as they know.
Very important phone call. But it was a good slide-in by me. Did you catch my...
I
just kind of slid right in.
Yeah.
People are like, wait, Rob was awful quiet.
And by the way, Elliott did say in his little press conference today that it was important to him to be paid the highest. And he said, quote, I'm the best. So this was an ego play too. He was not going to take less money than Todd Gurley in any shape or form.
Now, Antonio Brown, you said that the Cowboys aren't fining Ezekiel Elliott.
Doesn't sound like they are going to try to recoup any of the money, because he missed all of camp. And what I was reading is that they could probably go after about $1 million.
That is not the case with Antonio Brown and the Raiders.
No.
Where Antonio Brown is mad again. Well, is he mad? He posted this morning on his social media, Instagram, and he was not happy with being fined by the Raiders for missing part of training camp, and he posted the letter that Mike Mayock, the Raiders GM, sent him.
Which I'm sure the Raiders love the fact that he's posting that and then talking about the devil.
So $13,950 is the fine.
Yeah.
And he says, you can read the letter. I don't know. You want me to read? I'll read the letter to you. Dear Antonio, you're very dear to us,
yes,
but
show the hell up.
As you know, you did not participate in the Raiders walkthrough on August 22nd. Your absence from practice was unexcused. Accordingly, you are hereby fined $13,950 pursuant to Article 42, collective bargaining. You were previously fined $40,000 for missing Raiders preseason training camp on August 18th. Please be advised that should you continue to miss mandatory team activities, including practices and games, the Raiders reserve the right to impose additional remedies available under the club's discipline schedule, the CBA, and your NFL player contract, including, but not limited to, additional fines and discipline for engaging in conduct detrimental to the club. Sincerely, Mike Mayock, General Manager, which, by the way, that was not written by Mike Mayock. That was written by the Raiders attorney.
Yeah, and then signed by Mike Mayock. And then he posted that on Instagram, and then above it, he put, when your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now, devil is a lie, everyone got to pay this year, so we clear at Raiders.
I don't know what that means.
And by the way, that is exactly it was written.
You are quoting.
Yes.
Now, he is saying devil is a lie. Let's break that down. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay. Then he said,
no stopping me now, and there's no punctuation, so it's a little, it's hard.
I think what he's saying is, look, you're being an ass, Raiders, but I don't care. I'm coming back, and I'm coming back better than ever.
So you're saying he saying that he's not the devil? Like, the devil is a lie? Like, you're trying to make me out to be the devil?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Stop not going to things. It's a walkthrough. Jeebus, how hard is it to show up at a walkthrough?
Now, but can I play the other side of that and say, what are the Raiders? $53,000?
Yeah.
Come on. Jerry is saying it's not worth it to fine Ezekiel Elliott because you're just pissing in his pot.
Yeah.
Right? And you may want to, and you think you're right, and you probably are right, but just Antonio Brown is a sensitive prima donna star player that you really want to perform well for you. Why are you fining him $53,000?
Because I think if you're the Raiders, what you're fearful is that this is going to, remember, he quit. He did not show up for any of the Raiders, or not the Raiders, but the Steelers practices and treatments leading up to their final game, which was a game to decide their playoff fate. And I think what you're afraid of, all of this coming and going and not telling anyone and just going AWOL, I think they're trying to set a precedent of, look, you can be as malcontent-y as you want, but can you show up? Like, just be here?
Why don't you just talk to him?
Because at least with Elliott, like, Elliott just left. He was holding out for a contract. We know that, right? It's like, look, I'm not pricing until we redo our contract. No one really knows why Antonio Brown is or isn't showing up. He just randomly disappears.
Well, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, that's not good.
But at the same time, I don't believe finding him and pissing him off more is the solution.
Probably not.
It's hard-headed. You know you're probably right, but at the same time, Antonio Brown is a different cat,
yep,
and you need to treat him differently. You want him to play well for you, don't you? Well, then find a way to get him back without... See, now it's all just embarrassing,
yep,
right? It's just now he posts it on social media, and it's just, it's a thing. This is classic Raiders. And I know Mike Mayock's new, but this doesn't have to be a thing, right? Like, the Cowboys... Say what you want about Jerry Jones and how they operate. They have done everything to minimize the impact of Ezekiel Elliott's sort of prima donna nature, right? Like, yeah, they know he's a prima donna. They know he's prone to getting in trouble or being a bonehead. And they've supported him. And they waived the fines on him. They're pissed at him. They probably can't stand Ezekiel Elliott, but you know what they can stand is when he runs for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. So the Cowboys, I think, have handled him the right way. They're just not pissing in his pot. The Raiders, it seems the opposite with Antonio Brown. It's the same type of thing, just different problems. Just why are you continually pissing this guy off?
And you know that
it's
not going to get better.
No.
This is going to be a season-long thing.
I don't know, man. It's like you beat your head against the wall, you keep trying these things, and try something different.
You knew what you were getting when you went and traded for him from Pittsburgh.
How smart did the Steelers look?
I know. Juju Schuster-Smith looks better and better by the day.
Hey, we have John Gruden audio next in our NFL Hump Day Roundup. The kid that they were going all 8-bleep for on Hard Knocks, he got cut.
He gone.
And Gruden explains that. Coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're giving away Ducks tickets later. Ducks Nevada. The Wolfpack. We have the In the News coming up next. But we're right in the middle of the NFL Hump Day Roundup. And another Raiders note. Although, let me read a couple texts on Antonio Brown. Because these, a lot of these, you know, there's no right or... Well, I think there is a right or wrong answer. It's just hard to find the right answer with him. He is obviously very difficult.
Yep.
And every team, you know, if you put him on every single team, they would all maybe handle him a different way. Some better than others. I mean, I would say that Pittsburgh, I thought, handled him all right for a lot of the, for several of his early years in the league.
Yep.
Right? You never really heard a lot about it, but they just finally got sick of it.
Yeah, and eventually he just warmed down because I think it went from, it was the old give an inch, take a mile. And, you know, if you listen to people now, they'll tell you that behind the scenes, he was doing this for years in Pittsburgh. And eventually, it just, like I said, it just, it wears on you. And
okay, so that's what I'm saying with the Raiders.
And it's Gruden, like, had this with Keyshawn Johnson when he was in Tampa, that Keyshawn would just not show up to things.
So how then did Pittsburgh handle it for years behind the scenes? Whatever they did, it seemed to work because the guy put up great numbers, right? Ultimately, they got what they wanted out of him. The Raiders are not going to if they continue to approach him like this. That's my point.
It's an interesting way because there's
some of it is bending over backwards
because
a little
exactly
bit.
There are going to be some people that are going to be like, well, screw that.
I know
you have to draw a line somewhere.
I know,
and you know where we're going to go with this is Belichick would never put up with this.
That's true.
He's the only one in the NFL that runs this sort of hard ass system. It's the reality is there's just certain players in the NFL that can get away with just about anything, and he is one of them. Unfortunately, there's a lot of guys that could get away with this crap, but that don't, and he's the one that's going to push the envelope probably harder than anyone else.
So yesterday we were talking about Mario Cristobal and maybe being a little stubborn on the fourth and inches play
with
Tyler Shuck in there, and it's that, hey, we've got a great offensive line. We get this this first down. We likely win this game. Get out there. Everybody knows we're going to run it, but damn it, we're going to get it anyway, right? Like, that mentality may have done them a disservice in that, you know, you could have done something funky there. You know, it felt like it was a little too stubborn.
Sure.
Same thing here. You're going to fall in line. We need you to fall in line because it's not going to work. The Ducks didn't pick up the first down, and Antonio Brown ain't going to fall in line. He's a different cat. You got to have somebody on your team, your staff, somebody that he trusts. You got to go through him and get him calmed down and get his ass to camp.
You're assuming that Mayock's playing bad cop and Gruden's probably playing good cop,
maybe,
for now, but you're right, because Brown isn't going to fall in line. This isn't going to magically get better. It just won't.
And by the way, he's going to make you look bad.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, screw Antonio Brown.
Because he's going to undermine you, and yet you're still going to play him, and he knows
it. That's exactly
right. He's daring you.
That's exactly right. All right, so John Gruden, Hard Knocks is over.
Yeah.
Raiders.
This year was...
It wasn't great.
I feel like Hard Knocks is getting close to just having run its course, to be honest with you.
Now, on the show this year, Keenan Doss is a wide receiver that, if you watched the Hard Knocks broadcasts, you would see that the Raiders were really, really into Keenan Doss. Like, they were playing him up like, man, this kid's going to make the roster.
Yeah, they made him out to be like the second coming. That it was this great story from UC Davis, local kid, and that, he's a shoe-in, and they just love him. Well, and we've talked about this, that be careful because Hard Knocks is not reality. It is a narrative that HBO paints.
So he's an undrafted rookie.
Yeah.
Like you said, UC Davis. And that's exactly what Gruden said, because I think everybody, after watching how they presented Doss on the show, thought that he would probably make the team. He was impressing everyone. And here's what Gruden had to say once this weekend.
El Chapo.
Doss got cut.
That was your storyline. That was not my storyline. Just so we're on the same page.
All right.
You know, he did a heck of a job. You know, we tried to keep him on practice squad. He felt he had a better opportunity to make the team in Jacksonville. So we hate to see him go. We're happy for his future. And we're also, we weren't eager to get rid of Marcel Aitman. Aitman, you know, started several games for us. Rico Gafford made big plays for us. He's only played wideout for 1 year. So he's in a tough spot. You know, he's a big story on the TV show. But that's not the reality that we saw on tape.
Interesting. What do you think Gruden thinks when he watches himself on Hard Knocks? Because he clearly watches it.
Yeah. I don't know what he thinks of himself, but I think that was he really emphasized that's not what we see when we look it on tape. Like, that is a direct shot of what a bunch of crap. He's like, that's your narrative. That's not my narrative.
Yeah.
I guarantee that if he went back and watched that, he'd be like, why are they playing up this Doss kid? Like, what? Yeah, we may put him on the practice squad, but oh, he's gone. I don't care.
But at the same time, he's going to be the first one to shout him down when they present something that's real.
Yeah.
Right? If they show something, like the Kansas one that I was watching, they showed a kid throwing up in the trash can, and Les Miles comes over and pats him on the back and says something to the effect of, hey, I like the sound of that in the morning, you know, and it's like, yeah. I looked at that and went, oh boy, he might get some heat for that. Yeah. So if you really show this stuff unfiltered,
they won't.
You can't have it both ways, Gruden.
No.
Put it that way. It's like, yeah, the second they show something real and you dressing somebody down or whatever, then you get heat for it. I mean,
it's why I said the show is, it's a fun little thing to kind of look at, and it gives you an idea, I guess, of what it's like, but please don't take that as reality.
No, it's still good to watch Gruden run around and yell at everyone.
Hey, knock on wood if you're with me.
Knock on wood if you're
with me. That's the best thing that's come out of Hard Knocks in years. I do that now on a daily basis at my house. Like, if I'm telling the kids, I'm like, hey, we're going to go, you know, whatever, 6 o'clock. Knock on wood if you're with me. I'm a big. That one's going to stick with me for a while.
Well, it's what great leaders do. But I tell you what, with those cuts, you know, I think that the one thing he said in there, he's like, he was talking about another guy that he didn't want to cut.
Yeah.
I think the assumption may be sometimes that you look at these guys cut and say, well, they weren't good enough.
There
are guys,
true.
That's not true at all. There are guys they want to keep, guys that they like as football players that for whatever reason, they it's like a puzzle. You got to fit all these guys in different positions and they can't keep everyone.
Nope.
And so maybe, you know, I mean, he didn't really even say Keenan Doss was good and we wanted to keep him, but we just couldn't. He just said that's not what the tape
showed. But the other guy.
The other guy we really liked.
He's like, I didn't want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But it's true. The NFL, by the way, would do itself a big favor if it expanded its roster by you don't need to expand it like exponentially, but if you gave 8 extra slots, if you went from a 53-man roster to a 60 or 61, 62, somewhere in that range, I really do feel like it would benefit everybody. You'd get a better product, you'd get better depth, you'd get better development, because there's really not 75 guys that NFL teams want to keep. There just isn't. But 53 is too few. There's a handful of guys on every team that probably deserve to be there, or at least the team would like to keep around. And I know it costs a little bit of money, but geez, the league's making $10 billion a year. You can't find a handful of other, like, league minimum slots? Pay some insurance? Come on.
Here's a fifth grade teacher who texts us and says that he started doing the knock on wood thing with his class.
It's great.
I love it.
Hey, knock on wood if you're with me, men. Or in this case, kids.
How many people watched Hard Knocks and drafted Keenan Doss late in fantasy? That from Jordan. So true. Oh, he's going to be a breakout star.
Yeah, everyone thought that he was like the star of camp. And you know, Gruden's like, well, this kid's not making it. Thanks for coming. The hell out of here.
All right. Coming up next in the news, we talk missing hikers and Poop Beach. Next, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, if you're just tuning in, Oregon State will only be on Facebook this week, and we will discuss that. We have Oregon Ducks tickets, the Nevada game coming up this weekend. We are going to give away 8 tickets to that game coming up on today's show, so stay tuned for that. And Mario Cristobal hit the fan today with dirt and spray, and we'll hear a little bit of what he said earlier. But JC Babes, right now it is September 4th, 2019. It's time for the news. I am your noted newsman. However, I will say my award-winning show prep took a hit today.
It did. You were tied up with other things.
Closing on our sale today. So had a lot going on today. And guess who has prepared an award-winning in the news segment?
Well, this is what I do as noted news contributor.
Jason Sukanik.
Well, sometimes I have to spell out the teleprompter for you.
He says it's National Macadamia Nut Day.
Which is quite tasty.
I love nuts.
Is there anyone? Well, that goes without saying.
Macadamia nuts.
But of the nuts, isn't the macadamia nut really high up on the list?
Yes.
Now,
are we going to play Rank the Nuts?
I'll rank the nuts. Now, I would say that my number one nut is actually not a nut.
Oh, God.
Well, that's the cashew.
It's getting uncomfortable. A cashew is...
It's not a nut.
Cashew's my favorite as well. Right, I didn't know it wasn't a nut, though.
It is not.
Yeah. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. And if you really want your mind blown...
It's a vegetable.
It's a legume. What is it?
It's a legume.
Yeah, legume. And if you really want your mind blown, look up. It's the petal of a flower.
Yeah.
The actual cashew. Look up a cashew growing on its I guess the plant will blow your mind.
So you're going cashews one, huh?
Cashews are absolutely delicious.
Yeah, if we're going to include that into the nut family, which that's technically it's not, that's going number one for me. And then I think I'm going to go macadamia nut number mm-hmm. two. Yep.
I've never been a big macadamia nut fan.
And then I'm... Ooh, really?
Really.
Ah, they're tasty and everything. And on their own. And then I'm going number three. This may be controversial, but I'm going to throw maybe a walnut in there.
Walnuts are fantastic. That's my number two.
Can I go pistachio?
Yeah. Believe me, I was debating between pistachio and walnut, and it kind of went back and forth. And the only thing with pistachio is, like, I need, like, a grip. Like, you got to get, like, an entire bag to feel like you've had anything, whereas the walnut, you can get a couple and you feel...
That's true.
Also, pistachios are outrageously expensive.
I know. It's like beef jerky. You got to take out a loan in order to get it.
Are we overthinking this in not mentioning the peanut?
Well, no, because the peanut...
They're delicious.
They are delicious, but not on their own. Like, I need it to be honey roasted, or I need, like, a flavor of peanut. But
how I feel about almonds.
Yes.
I need flavored almonds. The plain almond is a little too plain for me.
I'm with you. This is my point about the Hershey bar. I need other things in it. So the peanut and the almond, to me, get knocked down because in the raw, to me, they're not as good as other nuts.
It is also National Newspaper Carrier Day, which I assume they still have those, but there's probably like one guy for the whole country because, well, it's the state of affairs.
It's like a Santa Claus sort of thing.
We have a missing hiker found. Now, this is bananas. But the body of a hiker who's been missing for 3 years was recovered in Mount Jefferson Wilderness.
Yeah, and they're saying, I don't know how they know this, but they're claiming no foul play, so may have just taken a bit of a tumble and took them 3 years to find. You know, I've never been, like, on a hike.
21-year-old kid left for the hike on July 30th, 2016. His name is Riley Zickel.
Yeah, I've been hiking plenty of times, but I've never been on a hike where I've felt like something could go wrong. Like, if something happened here, like, no one's finding me. Like, I don't hike to that level. I think that's a different...
Are you sure?
A different kind of hike.
Are you sure you haven't been and you just don't know it because you're not down in the... Like, if you're on the trail, but if you go off the trail or fall or something like that, you may very well be in one of those spots. You just don't know it. Because they were saying that this is... I mean, it was a heavily forested area, and there were a lot of valleys and ridges.
Yeah.
So it made it difficult to find his body because even if you were on the trail, you couldn't get... If he wasn't, you know, yelling for help, you really couldn't see him, or he could be hidden, and you really couldn't get to him.
I suppose.
So you fall off the trail. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, sometimes you've been up hiking, and you're up on a bit of a ridge or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's not good.
You roll down, and boom.
No, that's just a little freaky that somebody just was laying there for three. How many people walked by?
Also, there was snow up there.
Oh, well.
And that, you know, that complicates matters.
Just think about how many people walked by that body over the last 3 years and had no idea.
You ever think about that?
Like, if you've ever...
How often you're close to a dead body?
Yeah, I have thought about that from time to time. When, you ever been out to the Everglades?
I have.
I've been out there a couple different times. I used to live in Florida, and I always had that thought whenever we were out there, like, you'd be on one of those boats, and you're just like, I get the feeling that many things have died here. I think that's a place...
Well, it's just so vast. You know there are bodies floating around there. It's
I just assume, like, with the mob, that they're just dumping people down there, and...
Well, it's not very deep, though, is it?
No. Well, some of the places are, but no, it's not like it's, you know, 100 feet deep, but there's places where it's deeper than others, but still... I just think if you just went into the... I've taken those fan boats out maybe 4 or 5 times, and I've always thought that if you just went out here and you dumped something, like, no one would ever find it. Plus, there's all kinds of stuff there that would, like, eat it, or there's chemicals. It's just bad stuff, man, out there. Remember that JetBlue plane that went down? They didn't find it. Like, it just disappeared into the Everglades.
Really?
The biggest piece of that plane they found, I guess, was like a 6-foot by 6-foot section. And that was like a 737 that went down. Like,
so they did find it.
Well, they found pieces of it, but they didn't find all the bodies. And they knew where that thing crashed, and, like, the Everglades just swallowed it up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A middle-aged Oregonian has died. This is news because the person died in from severe lung disease because they were vaping.
Uh-oh.
They were vaping cannabis, and they're dead. It's the first in Oregon connected to the e-cigarette. If it's confirmed by the feds, it would be one of just two such deaths nationwide. How about that?
So are we going to have like a new health crisis on our hands with vaping?
Well, it seems
so
that
did you die of the weed or did you die of the vape?
I don't know. It seems that we're taking our time on the gun thing, so maybe they'll let several more die before they figure it out.
Whoops. I'm keep waiting for like the cell phone thing, right? I feel like that's been in
cell
the
cell phone. What do you mean?
Well, like brain cancer.
Oh.
I feel like that's been in the works for a while. I recently saw that soda basically will kill you. They're now saying, they're like,
well, we've known that though.
Yeah, but like we don't really care.
We don't care.
No. So that's why I say like if we found out like that like vaping, I suppose we'll care because we'll be like drugs, ah, oh, bad. But like soda,
nah, can't
soda
be any worse than cigarettes.
So like if it turned out that cell phones gave you brain cancer,
yeah,
because I feel like that one's been coming for a while. I'm waiting for the landmark study that's like, hey,
well,
by the way,
I don't really put it next to my brain, so yeah. You know, I just text a lot.
If we found out that cell phones were as bad for you as cigarettes, right? It's like, look, if you use this thing over a period of time, serious health repercussions. Does anyone stop with the cell phone?
I
and
think
I mean
some do.
Anybody?
Yeah, there'll be a guy or two.
More, I'll give you over under 10% of cell phones. Because at this point, I figure cell phones are like 90% of the population, right? I mean, everyone has them.
So there's this big warning.
Yes.
On the news.
Surgeon General slaps it right across the back label. Health warning, emphysema, brain cancer, whatever. Something serious like cigarettes. If you smoke, you got an increased chance of dying.
I think you got to ditch it.
They slap it on the cell phone. You're ditching yours?
I think you got to ditch it.
I don't think you are. I can tell right now. I can see the look on your face. You would justify the S out of why that's not getting you.
Yeah, maybe. But it would be less than 10%.
Yeah.
That would get rid of it.
Yeah, people aren't changing.
Now, in this instance, the state health officials are not releasing the circumstances or the age, gender, and residence of the person. We just know that they were an Oregonian. And they didn't identify what kind of cannabis product that patient had used. So we're really sort of in the dark on this.
Yeah. Because the weed guy will always give you the big, no one's ever died from a weed overdose, ever.
Yeah.
And is this the first one that someone's going to point to now and be like, aha! There you go.
So it's kind of vague. It's like they're saying this victim had no infectious diseases and had vaped at some point in the 3 months before hospitalization. The person vaped cannabis products, as did many of those who fell ill in other states. That's interesting.
Yeah. So
it's a few. It's a select few.
Not even certain, by the way, that this is like the whole vape pen. I feel like maybe this
is... I say vape away.
Isaac Robb says no link. And by the way, this person says, I would wear lead-lined boxers before I gave up my phone.
Lead-lined boxers. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, ball cancer from keeping your cell phone in your pocket.
I have asbestos hats.
Do you really?
Just kidding. Yeah, I'd wear asbestos.
I didn't know. Maybe if you had...
You remember that?
Well, you're reinventing or you're renovating your old house. I was like, do you have some sort of like asbestos blocker?
Oh, no. But you remember that in school, the whole asbestos thing?
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
Well, like,
they're killing you.
Well, my home is...
That was a big thing with the kids.
My home was built, like, in the early 80s. And when we had to start redoing stuff, I had to get anything we touched, as far as, like, what room we did, we had to go get a test on it for asbestos.
Did you have it?
No, we did not.
Whew.
Yeah. I was... the best is the one guy that that came in, he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, you're going to have it. He's like, this house? Like, yeah, it's coming.
And you didn't?
No, we didn't.
What an idiot. Shut up.
It was an expensive test, though.
Yeah, those are not cheap.
Yeah, he's like, well, no one's touching that thing without that test.
Fascinating. Well, as part of the investigation, state health officials are collecting information that should help the feds better understand the outbreak. The review includes the victim's most recent chart notes as well as x-rays and medical history. The agency also hopes to examine any vaping product the victim may have left behind. The disease is so new that experts don't have the data to say much about it with any confidence. One health official said it's still a huge puzzle. Hopefully we'll know more in the next few weeks. So basically this guy vaped. He didn't have any infectious diseases. He got a severe lung disease and died. And they are linking it to the vaping of the cannabis.
Look, I think it's time that we all panic. I think that's official.
I think that's right. All right. Coming up next on In the News, prepared by one Jason Sakanik today, Poop Beach. talk.
Yeah. If the
let's go frolic in some feces.
Or don't.
So that's next on In the News, 445 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 448 on The Fan. It is Rob and Souk. By the way, that's German.
Really?
Yeah, we're big in Germany.
Das ist gut, ja.
Ja.
Mitkommen dem Bus?
Yes, definitely.
My 3 years of German that I took, and I remember so much of it.
Boy, I tell you, that is so true about foreign languages. I'm all for taking the foreign languages. I took Spanish.
I know. I wish I would have taken
Spanish.
I
don't remember anything.
If I could go back to
school.
Does
anybody?
No.
How much do you have to, in other words, how much do you have to really study another language in order to, I don't say fluent, but to be, to truly make it worth your while?
Well, it's just a matter of commitment. You actually have to want to do it, and it's like a muscle, right? If you don't speak it for years, it'll go away.
You know.
Well, I know people like in the church. I have relatives, not me, because I'm a heathen. But I have relatives that went on missions to foreign countries and spoke fluently for 2 years. But if you come back and you don't speak Swedish, you don't speak Mandarin or whatever for a number of years, you forget it.
Vape bro versus weed bro, who wins? Says one texter.
Well, isn't it kind of the same thing?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know
you
if
can,
that's
you
a
can vape weed or you can vape tobacco.
I feel like the vapor is a different archetype, though. Now, Weed Bro needs to weigh in on this because I'm talking out of my ass. This is just, but I feel like, which is, there's nothing new about that. I feel like Weed Bro kind of looks down upon the vapors. Like, he would never do that. And then Vape Guy is a little high and mighty.
Yeah, like, you get that guy's like his flavored cherry tobacco. And I feel like Vape Guy is very flamboyant about it.
Yeah, he's bougie.
Yeah,
whereas
Weed
Guy
is like, just give me my weed.
Hey, man.
I'm with you. Look, they both have their pros and cons. But if I'm picking a side, I'm going with Weed Bro
over
Vape Bro.
Me too. Been around a lot longer.
Yeah.
The Weed Guy needs to evolve a little bit. I mean, the Vape Guy needs to evolve a little bit.
Like, I'd rather deal with, like, the drug rug and, like, white man dreadlocks than I would that weird sort of preppy Vape Guy.
I just got to say this, too. I got to say this. I'm sorry for you vapers. I have not met a vapor that I've liked.
Wow.
I don't know anyone that vapes that I have jived with. Mm. Now, I also haven't really come across a lot of vapers.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, for example, like, you're playing at a blackjack table with a vapor.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to talk to people when I'm gambling and stuff, and it's just like, not my type. Or, like, we had a vapor here. Remember him?
I do remember him.
Long since fired.
I do remember
him. He'd be out there vaping. He was a douche.
I know. It's just,
so I
feel like Weed Guy just wants to do his weed, where a Vape Guy wants you to know that he's going out to vape.
See, like, if Matthew McConaughey just starts vaping, now I'm like, oh. You know, because he's cool.
Yeah, well, and he's Weed Guy, and he's like Naked Bongo Guy.
Exactly. So Vape Guy, like, who's leading the Vape Guy charge?
Some douche at a frat or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not on board.
Can I just go with Cigar Guy?
Wait. What do you mean?
Well,
are we in this?
Cigar Guy?
I'm Cigar Guy.
Cigar Guy is better than, isn't that?
That's better.
Am I putting that in the hierarchy? I'm going Cigar Guy top shelf?
I don't know. I hate to say this about Cigar Guy because I like a cigar. I usually only smoke cigars on the golf course, but
I do it in the backyard, like around a fire pit. That's cigar and whiskey time.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, now this may also be wrong, but I feel like it's got a little bit of an old white guy stigma. Like,
yeah.
It's... I don't like that about it, but I enjoy cigars. You know, it's kind of like golf. Like, golf is like an old white guy sport.
That's 100%. You're
100%. And the cigar goes with that. And so I feel like a lot of people do look at Cigar Guy and go, aha.
It is tough
racist.
For me.
Oh, wait, no.
Because I don't know where you buy yours. There's two cigar shops over by me. And one, the guy's really cool. He's just like a normal guy. He goes in there and it's a cool cigar shop. The other place, on the other hand, handlebar mustache, curled up.
Yeah.
Really tight, like slacks, like from the 1970s. His cigar shop, although he's got really good prices, but oh, he's insufferable. Like, he's a cartoon character.
Yeah.
And you walk in there and you're like, ugh. But he knows the stuff and he's got good deals. And so it's...
Yeah, cigar guy. Yeah.
It's tough because one cigar guy can either be kind of cool, like most interesting man in the world, but then you get like urban hipster douche cigar guy as well.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But hey, I don't know. I love a good cigar. What can I say?
Well, you should. Vape pen. You're fantastic.
This guy says vape pen equals douche flute. That's fantastic. I'm going to steal that one. All right. Where were we? A popular beach for surfers on the North Oregon coast is under a public health advisory as officials warn visitors to stay out of the water. Yes, the Oregon Health Authority issued the advisory today for Short Sand Beach, a secluded stretch of sand found at Oswald West State Park due to high levels of fecal bacteria found in the water.
Yeah, so we're not the only ones here. The poop-filled Willamette feels vindicated now. The poop has migrated to the coast. By the way, how do you get that much poop in the ocean?
This happened not too long ago. And I forget where. It was further south.
Like, I always thought that the poop thing was more of a riverway issue. Yeah. I didn't think the poop thing was necessarily like a ocean problem.
You do have to get a lot in there.
Yeah.
But then it disperses. And then knowing. Then you wait 2 days and be like, ah, it's not that much poop. There. Get out there. Enjoy life. I'm going to hurt you. Yes, officials are advising visitors to avoid direct contact with water at the beach, including surfing, also nearby creeks and any standing water. And then they have to warn you about mud butt and all that. But
yeah, be careful.
Yeah, how does this happen? I think it's just, you know, it's just the, it's like overflow, you know, just like the Willamette. And then it just eventually.
It just goes, where does the poo go?
Well, it disperses. Just, you know. It's a big, it's big water.
You know what? That's Japan's problem now. We're sending it towards you.
Sorry, dang fishes.
It. Ah! I don't need to be in poo-filled water.
Exhausting.
If you do swim in bad water, though, you know it. It's like an awful
That's
deal.
Never happened.
You've never, no?
Well, I mean, I've been in the Willamette, but they say it's better now. Yeah, and when it's not, they'll tell you.
When we were in over in Indonesia, if you go over any, like in Thailand or whatever, some of the beaches there are pretty, they're pretty bad.
I just...
Like a lot of debris in the water.
That's
and
true.
It's,
but I...
It's a little...
I don't know.
You're just like, dude, if this is what's in here, like, I don't even want to know what I can't see.
I'm going to make something... I'll say something that's a little bit controversial. Isn't it true that anytime you get in any body of water, you probably don't want to know what you're getting into?
Probably.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's chemicals or poop or... You know, you just... That is... All bets are off.
It's a crapshoot, literally.
Like, this guy says, good to know, I go in water just below the fecal threshold. It's like, okay. Look, you're wading in something. It may be a jellyfish that stings you. It may be poop that gets in your eye.
Something's happening.
It may be, you know, it's water.
That's all I'm telling you is if you go over to the east and you're on their beaches, it's alarming how much stuff is in the water. Like, you just see just visible garbage floating next to you, and it can be alarming. And like, then like you see a diaper and you're like, that's it, I'm going in. And it's funny that like something like that, just the visualization of it, but if you just all of a sudden you see like a Pampers come floating by, you're like, I'm no, like, you know it's bad, but you try to ignore it because you're like, well, I came all this way and I want to surf.
Yeah, it's like, what's the worst that can do?
Yeah. You're like, that's a dirty diaper.
I'll just go out for it.
And I'm going in.
All right. That is in the news. Prepared by one Jason Skanek for today, September 4th, 2019. Coming up next, it is time for the Hot 5 at 5, the top 5 sports stories of the day on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.